good to be back with you for just a couple days. Been enjoying some beautiful hikes up in the North Country. Now, there's actually quite a few places here in Duluth that I found to hike as well, and maybe you've done some of that as well. I wonder, probably most of us are familiar with the lake walk down by the lake there. It's a very beautiful place to go. But I imagine having to do that hike or the walk of the lake walk blindfolded or simply without your sight, I would imagine be quite difficult. And now consider if you have done maybe a little section of this here hiking trail or some longer trail, like Appalachian Trail for instance, or something like that. Consider trying to do something like that blindfolded or without your eyesight. How difficult that would be. Very challenging, very dangerous. Consider though, if you were walking along and every once in a while you got a glimpse, you got to look around and see what your surroundings were and how helpful that would be. Of course, then you'd have to shut your eyes again and continue on, and your little insight, moment of vision wouldn't help. The further you went along, the further you went down the trail, the more and more you'd have to just feel your way again. Moving on from that point, once again, you'd have to struggle and, you know, trying to find your way, sometimes maybe even going on hands and knees so you don't fall. Now consider if you could open your eyes every couple hundred steps or so. Wouldn't that be helpful? You could get a sort of a bearing of where you are, make a course correction if needed. This would be helpful, maybe enlightening even. In our lives, we are all on a journey somewhere, whether we realize it or not. Religious experiences are a part of that journey. A religious experience is something, I would say, it's like a moment where we have our eyes opened to the reality that God exists, that God is real, that the Lord is speaking to us, so the Lord is inviting us to follow Him. These experiences might come from a retreat. Maybe you've had an experience of a retreat sometime, a retreat high, for instance, or by reading a book, or maybe just an encounter with a person who helps you to see Jesus in some form or fashion. Maybe even at a moment of sorrow or difficulty, being at a loved one's deathbed, for instance, something where God profoundly moves you or reveals Himself to you. Our eyes are open to the reality that God is real. So religious experiences are helpful. They give us a glimpse of this journey that we're on. But they aren't the same as, I would say, as a religious conversion. A conversion is like having the permission to open our eyes every so often. The deeper we go in the conversion, the more frequently we can open our eyes and are becoming aware of the reality that this trail that we're walking on is going somewhere. It's as if the veil that covers heaven is slowly becoming less and less opaque. We can see the glory of God begin to manifest in our everyday lives. In the beginning, externally, a conversion can simply feel like we're having a religious experience. But the difference is noticeable on the inside. The internal disposition is different. A religious experience is a momentary glimmer of light which can be a springboard to conversion. But it's mostly an external force acting upon us, so coming from the outside. And it can dispose us to conversion, but it's not conversion itself. Conversion occurs when we have met God and we decide we want to change our lives. We want to follow God. We want to do what He's asking us to do. We decide to pursue a way of life which is focused on being a disciple, being a follower of the Lord. When we're converted to Christ and allow Him to change our lives, we'll still have those moments where we have to feel our way, where we're still in the darkness. We'll still often experience the sensation of blindness. But there's a certain sense or a certain conviction that we are walking with a purpose and we're desiring to be transformed by the Lord. So there's that internal understanding of what we're doing. If we had never had that religious experience or are never converted to Christ, we might never know that there is a trail to follow, that we are meant to go somewhere. We're blind, in a sense, to God's purposes in our life. We might simply find a comfortable place to settle down and remain there. It's easier to keep living with what's familiar to us. Rather than facing the unknown or the uncomfortable possibility of the future. So conversion entails this surrender of the old self and taking on a new way of living. The worldly distractions that we all face can easily capture our attention and become an alternative to progress in the spiritual journey that we're meant to follow. We can become enamored or focused on these distractions, which then become obstacles to our conversion. Now, if we go back to the analogy of the superior hiking trail, if we were to walk it blind, consider how helpful it would be to have someone there to help us. You know, if we fall or get hurt and we're by ourselves, who's going to help us? But maybe we could have a trail guide. Or imagine if there was a group of people walking together. Even if they were blind, it would be comfort, wouldn't it, to know that there are others doing this with you? Imagine if there was someone in your group who had medical training or could help you if you were hurt in some form or fashion. All of this imagery is analogous to the church. The saints, in a sense, are our trail guides. They help us. They've walked this trail. The group is the church or the parish community. We walk together. The medical assistance that we can receive are the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist. What a difference it would be and make to help us if we had all of these assistants, all these aids. Now, it still requires that we move forward, and in the beginning, it's still going to be a daunting task, right? I don't know if you've hiked the Superior Hiking Trail. I've not done the whole thing. I've done a few little sections. But to think of walking that whole thing, or some other great trail is I like to hike, but man, those are long trails. It's quite a different thing than stumbling along in the dark alone with the constant fear of being stranded or being in an unknown route or region. So having the group, having the assistance, the trail guide, all of these things, the church basically, there to help us, it's a very comforting thing. In Exodus today, the Israelites have had an experience of God. If we read the story of Exodus, we see that there's the 10 plagues, they walk through the Red Sea, they have the manna, the quail, all these signs of God's providence and His care for them. So they've had these experiences of God. God is manifesting Himself to them, yet they remain unconverted. Their hearts are still not converted. They're unconvinced that the journey to the Promised Land, which is where they're going, is still worth making. They complain against Moses and Aaron. They wish to be back in Egypt. We hear them say today, wouldn't it be better if we just were back in Egypt? They prefer the familiar. You can't blame them in some sense, right? We all have that sense at times, like, I just want to be where I recognize everything. I don't want to try something new. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Even as God sustains them, they wish to return back to the slavery of Egypt. It's very fascinating. I think there's a lot of parallels in our own life. How often we are so similar. We fear to take the risk of committing to following the Lord, committing to the process of conversion, which is hard. It's difficult. The spiritual transformation that we're all required to reach heaven has to be undergone in this life. We have to submit ourselves to being formed and transformed. Instead, we often settle for attaining whatever worldly happiness we can achieve. Even though in the end it has no hope of bringing us to heaven in itself, we prefer those present distractions rather than risking ourselves and pursuing the promises which the Lord has revealed to us. St. Paul today encourages us. He says to us, I declare and to testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of your minds. You should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created in God's ways of righteousness and holiness of life. Holiness of truth, rather. So St. Paul encouraging us to not be afraid to take that step. He's basically saying, don't settle for what the earthly desires sometimes seek. Don't be earthly minded in the way you live your life, but step out in faith. Begin the journey that will lead you to eternal life. At the end of a life that has been totally focused on what we can achieve here in this life, there's going to be little that will console us after we die. But at the end of a life that is lived for God and in pursuit of God, heavenly things, the heavenly goal, you'll be filled with joy and anticipation and have a great confidence in the brilliance that lies on the other side of the grave. Both ways of living are full of challenges and difficulties and dangers and suffering, but one leads to eternal bliss with God and the other leads to perhaps huge regrets or dissatisfaction at best, or at worst, damnation. So we really want to be open. Where is the Lord inviting us to grow? Where is He challenging us to follow Him? To let go of preoccupations that keep us tied to this earth alone. There are a lot of good things in this life, and we're not meant to just push them aside. We can enjoy good things, but if they become a distraction, or they keep us from putting God first in our lives, we're hindering that process of growth that we're meant to go through. I can't stress enough that we should begin this journey or continue this journey wherever we are. Seek that conversion. Don't merely be a Christian who looks for religious experiences or waits for them to come. Rather, go to meet Jesus. Go to meet Christ. Where is He inviting you? Where is He challenging you to grow? Give Him your life. You will find that in the midst of great sacrifices and sufferings and trials in this life, a profound treasure is to be found. One that will change how you see, one that changes how you journey, and one that will ultimately bring you to heaven.